it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Death, taxes, and an away side failing to win a Hearts Aberdeen fixture. Callum, boy, does it feel good to join another live episode here on the Red Tinted Glasses YouTube channel and speak about a win, because it's been a long time coming, and what a way to do it.
Oh, it's about damn time. I'm still not even sure how it happened. It was like two different teams in each half, but absolutely delighted. Even more delighted that one of my best pals was in the away end, and at halftime, he was trying to cause some commotion in the group chat, given the result and our performance, the scoreline and our performance. But I felt like we needed it. And coming towards the end of the game, I said, "Oh, I feel like there's something brewing here." And I was right. Maybe sometimes I do hit the nail on the head and it's not just nonsense all the time. But boy, do we look silly after our previous podcast and the build-up to the game.
I mean, it wouldn't be a podcast if we didn't look silly. So I'm glad we're continuing our theme as well. And it was great that Aberdeen could finally end some unwanted records as well. Of course, that win at the weekend was the first time we've come from behind since beating other Edinburgh club, Hibs, back in March 2022, when forgotten man Vicente Bizauen was on the score sheet as well. So good that we finally managed to get that little hoodoo off our back as well. And I kind of like you felt the same during the second half, that there was another goal in that game at 1-1, and I was just praying that it was going to be for us, because this could have been a totally different episode had it gone the other way. There was a couple of changes for the Dons going into the game. Jack Milne, probably the biggest surprise, coming in for Angus McDonald, who I didn't really think had done much wrong in the defeat in midweek. And then the rotation continuing up front with Esther Sokler coming in for Duke. Jack Milne, I thought, was very impressive. I remember on here again making us look silly. Well, I say us, I mean me. Because I was probably a bit critical of him for the Helsinki game, maybe not seeing what those that had stayed at home and watched on TV had seen. But I thought Jack looked very good against Hearts at the weekend. And another lanky, dark-haired player, because I was getting a bit confused between him, Sokler, and Miowski at times.
What is wrong with you?
I was at a club beforehand.
Well, yeah. I was impressed. He looked very, very comfortable. I loved some of the heart and fight that he showed, particularly when there was a little bit of an argy-bargy in the second half. He was right there getting involved, which I was a big fan of. Encouraging, I think, is the only thing you can say. If he looks comfortable sort of in a game like that against, let's still be fair, a very good side in Hearts, then that can only be a good thing going forward.
I mean, I don't really think they are a very good side.
Okay, a decent side in comparison to the rest of the league. How about that?
Yeah, because to be honest, I think while we made them look like a good side, especially in that first half, because we were absolutely dreadful in that first half. And I think we have to acknowledge how poor we were in the first half. It really was. I know David McLennan's tuning in, and he's kind of commented before about us being a Jekyll and Hyde side. Well, this was really a Jekyll and Hyde game from Aberdeen, where we were really poor first half, but maybe back to the Barry Robson Aberdeen of old, second half. And first half, for me, the biggest frustration was how deep Boyan Miowski was having to drop to try and pick up the ball and get the play going. And we were kind of letting Hearts dictate the play, which was extremely frustrating.
Yeah, there was one instance where Bojan Miłoszki literally came within 15 yards to collect out of the defence to collect the ball. And it really did look like it's the best player on a school team trying to do everything. That's what it looked like. But the first half, it was the same as sort of Kilmarnock. In fact, it was maybe arguably worse. Hearts didn't offer too much. Really throughout the game, Rooster didn't really have a save to make. All he had to do was pick the ball at the back of the net, ultimately, which we'll come on to. But it wasn't like let's make no mistake about it. It was a terrible first half, and it was much more of the same. By then, I suppose in that case, Barry Robson deserves a lot of credit, because I do agree in saying that. The second half was like what it was more like last season. All of the fight was there, even if we're not, you know, playing the prettiest football, we're making sure we can get something from the game, and we gave ourselves a chance going late on into the game.
Yeah, and you know, Stephen Naismith coming out as well at a full time saying that the Aberdeen bullied Hearts second half. Graham Duthie tuning in, he's a Hearts fan, saying about the second half performance that we deserved the win based on that, and the subs and the change of system worked well. And I'm not kind of really taking any offence to Stephen Naismith saying that we bullied Hearts, and maybe not with a hint of irony in Stephen Naismith's tone as well, given the fact that Hearts picked up 7 bookings from their 20 fouls and probably lucky not to pick up a few other cards in there as well. But it is great to see that Aberdeen of old. We spoke about it on the preview. Probably the only thing that we didn't look stupid about in that preview, where we said we wanted to see some of that kind of grit and determination on the pitch. And I remember listening to the post-match interview on the way home, and I heard BBC Scotland using that exact word about the grit that we showed and how much Barry probably enjoyed seeing that back in the Aberdeen side. And that was the one that gave me that bit of positivity ahead of what is a big week for the club.
It's like someone flicked a switch at halftime, and all of a sudden they were desperate to fight for every ball. They were making things happen. And I think, you know, them flying into challenges, things like that, making sure we are the bullies on the pitch, it got the crowd going onside as well, because it actually looked like they wanted to get something from the game, whereas against Kilmarnock, the first half of the Hearts game, that didn't really look like the case at all. And it got the crowd onside once again, which I think was massively important, given a lot of disgruntlement and disgruntled noises in the first half.
Disgruntled noises, that's a very polite way of saying booze. But I think as well, important as well, given probably the conditions on Saturday, it wasn't exactly an enjoyable first half to watch, let alone standing, for those of you brave enough to withstand the conditions in Section Y in particular for the 90 minutes. I'm sure seeing the players actually show a bit of fight and passion in that second half probably helped a little bit. But once again, it's another soft goal conceded. And for me, the concern around that goal was it was from a set piece, which I feel we should be doing better. But Shankland really kind of shoves away Graham Shinney like he's not there. For me, it's really weak from the captain about how easily Shankland gets away from him and puts it, as Lawrence Shankland does, into the back of the net. And it had to be when we were down in needing something to go our way, it had to be a former player coming and putting the ball in the back of the net. But I'm just glad we got the last laugh.
We did. I'll look forward to speaking about that later on. It was typical. It felt typical of our fortunes at that time. It was very, very weak defending. It ended up being Shinney on Lawrence Shankland, which is a mismatch I don't like personally. And he couldn't really miss. Kel Roos perhaps could have made a bit more of things and dealt with the cross, even if he wasn't going to catch it, get something on it to prevent Lawrence Shankland. And, you know, he certainly enjoyed finding the back in it, I'm sure. But it was very, very poor from an Aberdeen perspective. And once again, it's set pieces, and we've got a load of big lads in there, and we can't seem to either deal with them defensively or grab a goal, really, from them. Very, very frustrating. And on that point, actually, grabbing a goal from them, why were we leaving Jack Milne, 6'4" Jack Milne, back at the halfway line when we were attacking set pieces? What is that about?
Yeah, I noticed that him and Graham Shinney were the two men that would drop back for the Hearts player left on the centre line. But really weird. And I think the frustration at halftime was justified. For me, I was just glad the first half was finished. I was probably too bored to even vent my frustration at halftime. But I think Barry Robson will have certainly vented at halftime. And I'm glad that we kind of got to saw the reaction to whatever frustration was vented from Barry Robson.
Got to saw? What are you talking about? But Robson also recognised that the boos were valid, I think, as well, which I think is nice. So there'd been a bit of humming and haw about whether you should boo them or whether you should try and get behind them. But I'm absolutely sure he got stuck in at halftime. And he probably used, hear that from the crowd at halftime. Do you want that? Remember how good they can be. A lot of the times during that run at the back in the last season, he was speaking about how the fans were with the players. And it seemed like in the second half, they sort of got that back.
Yeah, and I was listening back to our interview that we did with Christian Ramirez at the weekend. Of course, congratulations to Christian on winning the MLS Cup at the weekend with Columbus Crew. And it was a comment he made about when he was with the club that Stephen Glass said, saying that when you guys are winning and when this team's doing well, the fans will love you and the fans will be with you every step of the way. They'll really get behind you. And that kind of felt quite fitting to how the weekend's game against Hearts ended, with the way that the crowd was really kind of getting behind, as you mentioned there, the tackles that were flying in, and that feeling at full time when the winner hits the back of the net, and then it's celebrating with the players as they did their lap of honour, if you want to call it that. But the contrast from halftime to full time was huge.
It was. Am I on mute again? What's going on?
No, you're not.
My laptop's threatening to restart, which is not ideal. It did feel like, and the players earned that. I was due to be working right after the game, well, at 6 o'clock. Meanwhile, my friends were going to the pub, which really grabbed my gears because I wanted to join them. But stayed behind to make sure they got that applause. And it felt like it was such a big moment getting that result. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it's sort of the turning of the tide and getting the fans back on their side, not only with the result, but with the effort they put in that second half. I feel like it's massive going into ahead of the game at the weekend, not even this game midweek, which doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I know. Obviously, this episode, we're looking back at the victory over Hearts. And to be honest, we're hardly going to even speak about the game on Thursday because, let's be honest, it's a glorified friendly. It's been absolutely ruined by UEFA's decision to not allow Frankfurt fans to travel. So any kind of interest maybe most of us had in terms of enjoying the spectacle of German fans at Pataudry has been ruined. It's a 5:45 kickoff straight after work for a lot of people. Look, most, if the players' minds, I'm sure, are well focused. I listened to Barry Robson's press conference before we came live today, and Tyrone Smith kind of asked him whether or not the club could have been done without this game ahead of Sunday. And Robson, very typical of his interviews just now, said, "Why, what's happening on Sunday?" No, one game at a time, as Barry's speaking about. But at the weekend, said 1-0 down and trying to get back into it. Richard Jensen channeling his inner Angus McDonald. What a hit that was. And could you imagine if that found the back of the net? Only Xander Clark's fingertips denying Richard Jensen his first goal for the club.
I was trying to describe it to someone at work, and it felt similar to, when Scott McKenna hit it from range. After Chris Boyd told him to shoot and he found the back of the net. It felt something like that. Credit to Xander Clark, though. It was a fantastic save. But it was just moments like that where he could have easily, just tried to play that out wide or something. And it sort of got the fans going again because there was something to be excited about. And it felt like, oh, hang on a moment. We're in this game. We can get something from this game. I just would have loved for that to fly into the top corner. But if he wants to save that for Sunday, then that's fine by me.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I also love about Richard Jensen is how much he celebrates winning a slide tackle or winning a challenge. It was towards the end of the game as well when he did it. And I noticed, was it in the game against Rangers as well when he won a tackle in the box, ball went out for a corner and he just, yes, come on. Absolutely love that sort of passion as well. And one player that we're kind of seeing the best of this season and probably the biggest surprise from this season has been Jamie McGrath. Once again, another influential performance in the midfield. And what I like about this goal is, and it's probably kind of gone unnoticed, is Jamie McGrath seems to be the only player playing to the whistle, because probably everybody else in Pittodrie, especially those in the stands, are appealing for a penalty as Jamie McGrath goes down, but referee's not interested. Up Jamie McGrath gets, feeds Boya Miowski, weaker foot, no problem, Mr. Miowski, into the back of net, and the Dons are back in business.
Oh, brilliant stuff. I mean, he was probably the only person aware that he could potentially slide in Boya Miowski because everyone else was so focused on getting a penalty. But it's not the first time he's done that kind of thing when he's been on the deck and got up, played to the whistle, and it's resulted in a goal. Same at Motherwell away, I believe it was as well, taken out, and then we ended up scoring as well. But not only credit for him to get up and get on with it and for us to end up with a goal, the pass to Miowski itself is just perfect. The finish, incredible from Miowski on his right foot. Something where, I think against Kilmarnock, when he was really trying hard to get shifted onto his left foot, I was like, he didn't even have a right foot, it's just for standing on. And he made me look stupid, but that's fine by me. It was an excellent finish. And I tell you what, after Hearts had been singing Aberdeen, Now You're Listening, for about 10 minutes straight towards the end of that second half, the fence got it when that hit the back of the net.
Oh, that's good to hear. But you felt once that goal went in, obviously we kind of were building up momentum. The only kind of really thing that was stuttering our momentum was the kind of substitutes that were enforced. Esther Sokler going off with a knock. But the biggest kind of moment when the stadium seemed to hold their breath was when Boya Miowski went down. And I thought, oh, for fuck's sake, here we go. Physio comes on, everyone's like, oh, it's fine, he'll be all right, he'll get up. And you just see the hands going over each other that he needs to come off. And the collective groan, like, oh, for fuck's sake. The whole thing's knackered. Not even today, Sunday, just forget about it. But again, the players on the pitch showing that grit, showing, you know, really kind of digging deep and grinding out in the end. So, you know, we might have spoken on this show about Barry Robson utilising the squad and maybe players not getting their chance. But maybe with the cup final coming up, players keen to put a show on for Barry Robson and say, hey, look, if you need us, we'll step up and be counted on.
Absolutely. I mean, then Dante Povara coming on for Miowski, I thought he came on and was almost exactly what we needed, even though it was an enforced change. I would describe the groans as disgruntled noises when the 4-point odd million pound man, apparently, Boya Miowski went down. But I thought, oh, that's the whole thing knackered. And especially after Sokler just got off, I was like, well, I couldn't have, you know, we just waited a few minutes for that substitution and maybe Sokler could have carried on and protect Miowski, wrap him up in cotton wool. However, it was okay. And Boya Miowski looked to have been okay. I know you've got a little bit of an update after the Bayern Robson's press conference, but in fact, he charged down the line to celebrate the second goal, suggests he's going to be fine.
Yeah, well, I hope he hasn't maybe made things worse by charging down the touchline to celebrate the winner. But, I mean, can you blame him? And could you blame any of the other players? Obviously, after the game, Barry Robson coming out and saying both Esther and Bojan are carrying knocks and were struggling, and that's why both had to be taken off. But on Boya Miowski, Barry Robson coming out today and saying that it's a waiting game. Obviously, he didn't train today. That's on Wednesday, the day before the Frankfurt game, for anybody kind of catching up with this episode a little bit later. And the club are waiting to see how he is in the morning. Now, this could be a terrific poker move by Barry Robson. You know, let's not chuck Boya Miowski out there on the day before the Frankfurt game. Let's get the Rangers fans excited, because of course, we're going to come on to that cup final preview a little bit later on in the show, but they're carrying a lot of injuries and missing a lot of key players ahead of the weekend as well. But it just feels this is the big piece in this chess match for Aberdeen, and we need Boyan as fit as possible. And I don't know why Barry Robson's saying we'll wait and see how he is again ahead of tomorrow, because I want Boyan nowhere near that match day squad tomorrow. Stay in his cotton wool, stay in his room, keep him as far away from a football pitch until Sunday.
Yeah, and it's also a touchline of a football pitch in case he gets overexcited again. But I agree. I just hope that they choose not to involve him because there's no point risking him, even if he is fine to play. There isn't. It's an absolute nothing game. And that final is the most important thing. And also, if he's not even in the squad on Thursday, then maybe Rangers will be getting a little bit excited about the potential of him missing Sunday. And we just hope that it's, as you say, a poker move rather than out of necessity.
Yeah, but you also do know that if Bojan Miłoszewski's not in the match day squad on Thursday, a lot of our fans will absolutely lose our shit that he's not going to be fit for Sunday. But look, I'd be giving debuts to Ross Duhan or Dadia, Reece Williams. Honestly, whoever wants a start that hasn't played this season, give them the minutes on Thursday. Of course, we still not need to wrap up the events from the weekend's win, because it was a win. And Duke came on and once again made an impact, as he tends to do off the bench. Maybe not so much this season as some people have hoped for, but he still offers a threat. And what I like about him most is he will chase that lost cause or supposed lost cause. And the ball over the top from Nicky Devlin, he's got two defenders that he's got to get past, and he does that brilliantly. Now, Callum, was it a shot or was it a cross for Leighton Clarkson?
Well, I'm sure he'll attest otherwise, but at the time, I certainly thought it was a shot. I didn't see Clarkson running in either. And I just thought, oh my God, that was the moment. And then all of a sudden, just bedlam. I really thought it was a shot at the time. I haven't watched it back. If it was a shot, it was that bad that there's no way it could be. And he's got to pass it off as a pass. But regardless, the fact he made something happen off the bench, making an impact, is fantastic. And we just want him to get back to doing that kind of thing, even if it's, you know, fluff shots turn assist every single game.
Yeah, I actually thought at the time from my seat in the red shed that the ball had actually hit the post and had bounced back to Leighton Clarkson. I thought that's how far it had gone across. So I actually thought it was a shot. But on first viewing on Sports Scene, I couldn't help but think he meant that as a pass. But
we'll give him the benefit of the doubt. How about that?
Well, we'll give him the benefit of the doubt, but of course, I asked the man himself, because I've been speaking to him over the weekend, kindly gave me his match-worn top from Frankfurt away. So I've got that here. Yes, I tried it on. Yes, I fit into a medium and I feel fantastic about that. But he said he was always in control of where Leighton Clarkson's movement was, so he knew where he was and definitely meant the pass. But the emoji put on the end makes me think he is telling a wee white lie.
That's fine, though. You two are like that these days, though, aren't you? Wait a minute.
Yeah, mate. Don't get jealous. Don't get jealous.
I will.
But given, obviously, the late winner again breaking another unwanted record for the Dons, that's our first injury time winner since back in October 2020, the COVID season. Those of you that want to remember it that way. Just how important, Callum, could that 3 points be for the season and, well, potentially Barry Robson as well?
Massive. Hopefully that is the turning of the corner. If you like, as I said, we're heading towards the sort of final 10 minutes of that game. I had a feeling it could be. I don't know where it came from because, as mentioned, you know, it'd been so long since we came back from behind. It'd been so long since we got a late winner. And I just felt like that doesn't happen to Aberdeen, but maybe today's the day, and I hope that is the case. And, you know, that second half performance, the fire in the belly that hopefully gets the fans with the players that Barry Robson would have said last season, hopefully that can be the sort of momentum I spoke about at length, how a good October could have been for us, and perhaps maybe December is going to be that. If we can follow that up with just a decent showing, hopefully from the fringe players on Thursday, and then go into that cup final and feeling good about things and end up with a result, then that could be the week that saves Barry Robson.
Yeah, it could be a defining week, and of course it could be a week that sees the club win two trophies, because as we're live tonight, the Young Dons kick off at 8 o'clock at Balmoral against Banks of Dean, the Aberdeenshire Shield final. So good luck to the young team, and hopefully it's the first of two trophies we see the club win this week. But before we get to the men's first team cup final, we've got a glorified European friendly, our final European Conference group stage game to play against Eintracht Frankfurt.
We do. However, we can't go over the Hearts game without mentioning Lawrence Shanklin giving the finger to the South Stand. Ha ha! That is hilarious. Sorry, just wanted to get that in there. Get it up every single one of them. Sorry, we're still here.
Do you think he might get banned?
There's no chance of that happening. He'd be getting a lot of abuse. He was letting his frustrations out. But I still hope one of our rivals get the best player banned, if I'm honest.
As I said, on to Frankfurt on Thursday. We're not going to waste a lot of time on this game because, let's be honest, it is a game that means nothing in terms of Europe for the Dons. We can't progress. Frankfurt have already progressed. And let's be honest, it's a game that's kind of getting in the way of the build-up to Sunday's final. And as David Stewart points out, Frankfurt also have Leverkusen, who lead the Bundesliga on Sunday. Therefore, probably they've also got one eye on that, trying to follow up their impressive 5-1 humbling of Bayern Munich at the weekend, which was certainly an eye-raising result. Mm-hmm. Probably more so after they got knocked out by a third division side in the German Cup in midweek, the same day as we lost to Kilmarnock. That German side that beat them in the Cup was the same side that knocked out Bayern Munich in the last minute. So kind of like us, a bit up and down with their results. But coming to Aberdeen with nothing on the line, we're likely to play our fringe players, Callum. They're probably going to do the same with one eye on playing the league leaders. It's a tough sell, isn't it?
It is a tough sell, especially as you said, without the away fans as well, which I think is a shame because I really did enjoy the sort of noise that the Pauk fans, when they were over, the noise they made. Not only, you know, are Frankfurt qualified, even with a win, they won't finish top of the group. So the game really means absolutely nothing. So it's a shame their fans aren't here just to make it a little bit more of a spectacle. But play all of the fringe players. I totally agree. When you mentioned even Ross Duhan, I was thinking that prior to the show, I was like, just don't even risk Kelleroos. So there's no point at this stage. Tell them, you know, you've got 90 minutes here. Show us what you can do, and you might make your way onto that bench, perhaps, on Sunday. I'm not bothered about the game whatsoever. Just hope we don't get embarrassed, and a nice little showing for us as well. We would be nice, but hey, it's not the end of the world.
I'm not even overly concerned if we do get embarrassed, to be honest. As long as we don't pick up any injuries to players that might be involved in Sunday, that's all I really care about. Although, would I care if we got embarrassed if we lost on Sunday? Then maybe. But if we get embarrassed on tomorrow night and then win on Sunday, no one will even probably remember the game because, let's be honest, it's pretty shit without them having any fans. It's a 5:45 kickoff. It'll be a struggle for most to get up for the game. But we said they don't have any fans. That's not strictly true because Eintracht Frankfurt have 200 VIP fans, which will be housed in the traditional away end because the club have no other choice but to house them there with the way the club have sold the three-match package. Those 200 fans will mainly be made up of players, families, and kind of corporate people. I just don't understand why the club, despite putting out really strict warnings to Aberdeen fans reselling tickets, if tickets were resold, just chuck them in with other 200. What's the harm going to be done? Let the guys that have come over, regardless of being banned, get to the game, enjoy themselves, because it's not going to be a game to remember. So let them enjoy actually seeing a game rather than staying in the pub and watching it.
True. It's going to be weird having a little it's going to be the worst corporate seats they've ever experienced in the away end. And I hope if we score, the fence still gets it, just for a laugh. There's a talk of the €500,000 for a win. I can't see us getting that. However, I do agree with David Stewart's comment in saying that it can be used to pay for Duke and Glenn's wedding. Congratulations, guys.
Be extravagant, to say the least. Hey, if we get a draw, it's £166,000 or something like that, isn't it?
Decent wedding out of that, I reckon.
So, yeah, I know. That'd pay the honeymoon anyway. The only other thing, I guess, for tomorrow night would be kind of, do you agree with those changes? I saw Kaiser, again, regular on the show, mentioning about giving Reece Williams a game. Reece Williams linked with a recall to Liverpool as they struggle with their defensive injuries and kind of talk around Ordadia's future as well come January, whether or not he'll be sent back to Hartpool Bear Shaver to play. Could we see Ordadia finally make his competitive first team debut along with Reese Williams? Of course, both of these guys playing for the development team in the Shield and the Challenge Cup respectively. Could we see them in European action tomorrow night?
I hope so, just to see that they exist and also just to protect the rest of our other options, I suppose. It would be interesting. Why not give them a run out, see what they're like in a first team setting, because we've not.
Yeah. Question from Lee Seymour, probably final thing on the game tomorrow night. Do you think the group stage football has been a worthwhile exercise, Callum?
Yeah, I think more for the fans, perhaps, rather than anything else. They've had a great time, and so they should. I think so. If, you know, we're Aberdeen Football Club's value likes to say, we need to, this is where the level we want to be at. And okay, we've not quite had the success, not had the results that perhaps we'd have liked. It has been a tough group. And if we're going to be here next season, the players that are still here next season will be all the better for the experience of playing at that level and knowing what it takes to get results in such a competition. So I think it has been a worthwhile exercise. I don't feel like it will be, especially with the game around the corner on Sunday. I think overall it's been a good experience for the players and likewise more so the fans. So
yeah, it's been a terrific experience, more so for those that have managed to get to every game, including of course that pilgrimage back to Gothenburg in the qualifiers as well. And I'm sure it's been a great experience for the players. Dante Povara touching on that in his press conference today, saying how much, you know, coming up against the likes of Eintracht Frankfurt would be a dream when he was growing up playing on this stage. So I'm sure, regardless, the players are going to relish the game. But from a fan's point of view, I'm just disappointed how it's been ruined by UEFA and the fact that it means there's nothing on the line. And to me, the more focus and attention is on Sunday instead. So, Callum, let's turn our focus and attention to Sunday. It's Wednesday night. It's 7:30. How are the nerves halfway through the week ahead of the final?
They're getting there. They are getting there. Weirdly, a small belief as well. Which I think, I don't know, I think I'll fluctuate between now and then, between we're absolutely going to win it and oh God, this could be a disaster. But the nerves are slowly picking up. But I'm just quite excited because there is a possibility. It'll be the second trophy that I've won in my lifetime. 2014, obviously, the only so far. And I wasn't quite old enough to be able to enjoy the celebrations, I think. As perhaps I would this weekend, so I just hope we get that weekend. It would be incredible, and but the nerves are picking up. Glenn, are you shaking yet?
I'm probably the same as you. The nerves are there, but the excitement is definitely building. But I really hate that I'm like you in the sense that small glimmer of hope is burning inside of me, because we all know it's the hope that kills you. It would be the third trophy of my lifetime, but the first trophy we won, I wasn't even three, when we won the 95 League Cup. I didn't even know Aberdeen really existed at that time because I didn't live in Aberdeen until I was 10. There's a fun fact that nobody needed to know about me. So it would be really, I would class it same as you, Callum, second trophy of my time supporting Aberdeen. I was going to ask you as well, kind of what your memories were from the last time we won the League Cup at Parkhead, of course, on penalties against Cali. Obviously, you said you weren't kind of old enough to be like myself and revel in the win in town outside Seoul with the players. Like, I can't remember, was it Nicky Lowe and Joe Shaughnessy forming part of a pyramid outside Paramount? I mean, and then doing a 10-man went to Mo outside what was HMV. I can't remember what it's called now, but yeah, there were some terrific memories from getting home, albeit getting home took fucking ages because there was a really bad crash at Cumbernauld as well. And what's your memories from that day?
what I'd give for Duke and Jamie McGrath to be part of a 10-man pyramid come Sunday evening. I remember Russell Anderson hitting the bar. I remember the penalties. I remember Johnny Hayes going down injured very early on. But I distinctly remember the chants of Peter Paul at Baby and songs from Johnny Hayes and the Northern Lights at full time after the game. I remember Neil shedding a tear as well, which I think at the time I was like, why are you crying? And I kind of thought, this is going to happen more often now. We're going to win these things. Little did I know. And I think come full time, if we are the victors on Sunday, it could be me shedding a tear this time. It would be incredible. And I think I'd, this time round, if we were to win, I'd just want to soak it in a lot more than I did. Because as I said, I just kind of, I think at the time when you're young and you win something, it's like, it'll be like this all the time. It'll be fine. It was sort of the same when we were playing in the group stages, you know, against like Copenhagen and Atletico and things like that. And it's only been now that we've sort of corrected that. So it would be nice to get both of those things in the same season after young, foolish me didn't really enjoy them for what they were at the time.
Yeah, and I think obviously the quote from that day's, you know, 120 minutes then fucking penalties. I don't know if I could deal with fucking penalties on Sunday. That would be a real nerve shredder and nail biter if the game went that long. I'm sure there'll be some contentious penalty calls on Sunday. We'll maybe get into that in a minute as well. But, you know, synonymous with that day for me as well will always be Avicii and Wake Me Up, because that song was played not long after the trophy was lifted. So every time I hear that song, it takes me back to seeing the team walking around the pitch with a trophy. And obviously the commentary, the iconic commentary from Liam McLeod is Adam Rooney with a chance to win it for Aberdeen. And he does. You know, what player's going to have their iconic commentary line that this weekend? It's just those little bits that stick with you forever. And obviously, you know, the parade that followed afterwards as well. There's so much to kind of, as you say, soak in and really appreciate. And maybe at the time you don't appreciate. And I just think, you know, obviously beating Cali on penalties to win a cup was something, but to say that we were there as we beat Rangers in a final would be something on a completely different level. I did have to laugh at Kaiser's comment on screen for those watching, saying everything is against us on Sunday. If we come out the game as winners, it'll be up there with beating Real Madrid and Gothenburg. I mean, the conspiracy theories about the penalties and how tough this game is going to be with it. Of course, Don Robertson being in charge of the game and Andrew Dallas being on VAR. It feels like going into this game, we've also had the ticket sales situation. This is really Aberdeen and the fans against not only Rangers, but the SFA, the SPFL, the West Coast media. This is us against the world. And I love that. Get that siege mentality built over the next couple of days. For those of you on X or Twitter or Facebook, might have seen that post from the fact that Rangers are selling slots to have their photo with the League Cup trophy next week already. That post better be plastered all over Cormac Park. I want that on the door of the changing room. I want that as the last thing the players to see before they go out. That's how smug, that's how confident that club are of winning that trophy this weekend. Let's wipe that smug smile off their faces. And boy, would it mean everything to us if we could do that. We could be smug next week and I will love every second of it.
Get that played in the dressing room before kickoff. That's
well, Duke will be watching. Get that screen recorded, Duke. Get that chucked on That's the TV true. Beforehand.
I agree. I mean, I really thought you were going to end it with, I will love it if we beat them. I sort of had that feeling about it. I feel like I want to run through a wall for you going.
Yes, come on. But of course, more serious matters then. So after taking kind of a trip down memory lane, and before I get to Neil Warnock and carried away, trying to give a team talk, pre-match team talk. It's a big game on Sunday. There's no getting away. But as Dandy Don said a bit earlier on, the probably most important thing is keeping 11 men on the park and don't concede early. Huge game, huge occasion. We speak about when we're at home, kind of taking the game to the Rangers. Do we feel that Sunday will be maybe a bit more of a cagey opening 10 minutes? They've got a big game tomorrow night over in Spain against Real Betis. A lot of injury concerns coming into the game. Is there a fine balance in that opening stages about trying to exploit maybe tiredness and a Rangers side not settled, given the fact they are constantly making changes with the injuries that they're picking up? Or, you know, bedding ourselves into the game, finding our feet?
I think it will be cagey. Cup finals tend to be, regardless of circumstances going in. I think perhaps you could argue going towards the end of the game, the fact they've got a game that matters tomorrow night compared to us, we could maybe see that playing effect as generally tiredness seeps in. Perhaps we'll have the edge there. But that being said, I think it will be cagey to start with. We might, you know, not see a lot of the ball, but I just want them to, when we do get it, use the ball to break with purpose. Don't just nail it down the line or over the head of Bojan Miovski or whoever. Use the ball to your advantage and make something happen. Be a hero. I don't want to seep too much into, I don't want to steal your thunder. But
no,
just
you try to get yourself clipped up for the dressing room now.
I just don't want to see us you know, just being so wasteful with the ball as we have been in recent weeks. We were less so against Hearts in the second half, more of that Hearts second half, a lot less of the rest of the shite we've seen this season, and then we've got a very decent chance.
Yeah, and as David Stewart says, we've got nothing to be concerned about for Sunday. We always raise our game against Rangers. It's our cup final on a cup final. What a time to put it on, and as Chris Maitland says as well, we've shown this season we can beat this team. We more than held our own and really bullied them, to quote Stephen Naismith, in the first 45 at the most recent game at Pittodrie, until I kind of felt Barry Robson took his foot off the gas and kind of sat back and tried to defend what we had. Hopefully we don't see that this weekend if we are fortunate enough to take the lead and we're not sitting back on our laurels. We spoke about the kind of the game on Thursday night getting in Aberdeen's way ahead of Sunday. Rangers have got a game over in Spain where a win would see them potentially top the group. Game that they're probably going to be looking to go out and win. Do you think Thursday night, for what Rangers have at stake, benefits us in any way, given our game means nothing?
I think so. I suppose you look at the other side, whereas, you know, they could use it to get rhythm. Meanwhile, we've got this sort of dead rubber game. You could look at it like that. But I think it could play into our hands, as I mentioned, towards the end of the game. If they've given it all, they're all on Thursday and they have to travel back from Spain, then tiredness could certainly seep in and we could certainly exploit that. You saw in the semi-final, Bojan Miovski can come up in big moments, as he's done a lot this season. And if that's up against tired legs, then all the more chance that we're going to see something happen there. The small part of me is like, oh, at least they've got a game that matters, and perhaps, you know, if they go and win that, they're going to be feeling on cloud nine going into that final, whereas we could have a game that doesn't really matter, it's a dead rubber, and take a trouncing. So there is two sides to the same coin.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair point that you make about kind of the fact that we potentially go in and, you know, not play certain players, and obviously we saw what happened when we rotated heavily against Helsinki and the follow-up against Hibs, although again, different game, different occasion, different feeling going into that. But looking at Rangers, Todd Cantwell's not travelled to Spain. He's dealing with an internal personal matter, whether or not that's him and Clement falling out, who knows. It'd be quite enjoyable if he missed out. Cifuentes is suspended for Sunday's showpiece after his red card against Dundee. Yes, we are watching at SFA that there was no additional one-game ban for a frivolous appeal, because it was an absolute shocking tackle. I can't believe they even had the cheek to appeal it. But in truth, I'm more surprised it wasn't rescinded. Mm-hmm. Danilo is out for 4 months as the striker faces surgery. Tom Lawrence is out until the new year. The man that can't be named in midfield, Snake One, he is also out until the new year. And Nico Raskin is a doubt. So injuries are building up for Rangers. Kemar Roofe is back, but Philippe Clement saying he cannot last 90 minutes due to his injuries and he has to be eased back. So Cyril Dessers and Sam Lammers are the two strikers that will need to burden a lot of the weight along with Abdullah Sima. Those players certainly up top that we saw at Pataudry, none really kind of set the heather on fire. Sima has looked good this season, but it's these build-up of injuries that I can't help but feel are giving me that confidence going into this weekend.
Yeah, I think so. Did you mention Raskin's a doubt as well? Yeah. However, all of these injuries are getting me a little concerned about Snake 2 and his potential involvement. He seemed to enjoy a little moment at Hampden, and that would absolutely kill me, if I'm honest. But the amount of injuries, the fact Danilo in particular is not going to be playing, is massive. I think his quality over the rest of their forwards, barring maybe Sima, is there for everyone to see. And don't get me wrong, Kemar Roofe's a good player. The fact he can't play 90 minutes and that probably means we will see Cyril Dessers is excellent, I think. I'm trying, maybe not, however. I don't want to, make a wrong
for jinx it.
Our back. Yeah, no, I did that back, I didn't say anything. But it's sort of encouraging, I think, personally. And if we do go on and win this, I think I'll be pissed for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I know. I think we'll come on still absolutely steaming on Monday night for the reaction. I've already said I'm not going into the office on Monday, although I might just to wind up the Rangers fans in the office, but I'll make that a mid-afternoon trip. I think the concern for me going into the game is obviously Bojan Miolski's fitness. I will not kind of feel confident in the sense until I know that he's maybe starting the game. Like I said, it could just be Barry Robson is an excellent poker player. We'll wait and see. The one other position that is giving me kind of concern and curiosity ahead of Sunday is left back, left wing back. Johnny Hayes has been starting there the last few games. I was more surprised to not see kind of Jimmy McGarry get more minutes across the two games against Kilmarnock and Hearts. Do you think that if Jimmy McGarry gets a decent amount of minutes potentially on Thursday night against Frankfurt, Johnny Hayes could be in line to start that final on Sunday?
Is it wrong to say I hope not? I don't know. I think in the second half against Hearts, he was actually pretty good, in fairness. And against Kilmarnock, he wasn't one of the worst, so that's an improvement. I would like to see Jimmy McGarry start at the Cup final. And I do hope, however, he gets minutes on Thursday. I think he could do with minutes in the legs. Whether it's he starts, plays an hour, comes off, or comes on for the last half an hour, I don't know. But I suppose if Johnny Hayes is to play, it's not the worst thing in the world. It's experience. It's you're going to get the effort, even if the end product isn't there. And experience of winning trophies as well. I think for him, perhaps, he's got a few wrongs to right as well after having to go off after 17 seconds the last time we won the League Cup. So perhaps we're going to see Johnny Hayes have his moment. Maybe it's the ultimate redemption arc. You never know. These kind of things, the Cup final, anything can happen. And God, could you imagine if it was him that went on to win it for us? Maybe some of his performances, and also after the fact, he didn't last longer than 20 seconds in the League Cup final, and then he went away without us winning anything else, and he comes back in his geriatric form and comes up big in the Cup final. Could you imagine?
And I'm sorry to bring up, but he also has some making up to do after the 2017 Scottish Cup final as well.
Well, I'd blame him rather than Kenny McLean, I'll say that much.
The other interesting position still remains in defence, of course. Slobodan Rubicic not featuring in the last couple of games. Angus McDonald and Jack Milne featuring against Kilmarnock and Hearts, respectively. Does Ruby come back for the final? Or has Jack Milne potentially done enough to earn a start? Or is Angus McDonald knocking on the door?
I hope Angus McDonald, to be honest, of the three. Just in terms of the fact it's a massive game, Ruby could do something mental. And we saw Anthony Stewart do something mental last season, and that proved costly. And I just don't want to run the risk of that sort of thing again. Again, relying on McDonald's experience. I think they didn't play against Hearts. Robson mentioned something about the fact that he was simply too tired. You know, he's not played a lot of football.
I find that baffling, though.
He's not played a lot of football, though, so he's probably not completely sharp. But then I suppose then, do you think if he's not completely sharp, then play Rubisic? I can't see Jack Milnes starting this one, however. Perhaps on Thursday, I can't see him starting in the cup final, however. So I think I would put my money on Angus McDonald.
Well, we'll see what happens there. I've also written down as well, do you think we'll go with the Frankfurt formation, which would see us go one up top? Would you be happy enough with us to kind of line up like that?
I think so. And then does that mean Dante Polvara comes into the starting lineup, I think? Big game Dante, as I think he should be known. I'd be happy if we started that way, to be honest. I think in terms of containing them, as they'll probably look to come flying out the traps, that probably gives us the best chance. Jamie McGrath then most likely the midfield to break forward and get close to Miovski, let's say it will be. And Dante has that application. He's a big body. And I think in terms of this cup final, I'd be happy with that. And hey, he's done it in big games. You know, we've seen him come up in big moments. Perhaps he could do the same again.
Yeah, and Dave sure asked if Sokler's fit, we should go with two up top. I can see the logic behind it. And I just wonder, given the success we had in that first 45 at Pottodrie with both Sokler and Miovski, I wonder if that is going to be playing on Barry Robson's mind ahead of the final.
I think quite possibly. And if we're going to be without the ball a lot of the game, he gives us the best chance of a forward who can actually win the ball in terms of a flick on or nodding it down to somebody. There's no point if Duke's going to start then slumping the ball up to it when, you know, players are half a foot taller than him that he's up against. So I wouldn't be against that. I just think for me, given the way we've gone into some of the big games this season, Ibrox away, I suppose, as well, with that 5-4-1 with Polvara, then I'd be more inclined to go with that. However, having the option of Sokler off the bench as well as Duke is then a decent spot to be in, you know, come if the game's still very close or within touching distance, but with sort of half an hour, 20 minutes to go.
Yeah, and the thing, you know, is obviously I mentioned about kind of not wanting the game to go as far as penalties. Having those players in reserve could be beneficial against. Again, speaking with the game on Thursday in mind, the longer the game goes on, it could have a better benefit to us. Tired legs coming into play, I guess we have to take account of. Yeah, I can't wait for Sunday. I'm really excited, really nervous at the same time. What time are you heading down the road at? Or are you going to be staying in Fife the night before?
I'm not going to be staying in Fife the night before. I don't actually know what time we're leaving.
Are you on the bus?
I'm not on the bus, no. Neil will be driving us down, providing he recovers from COVID. So that's gone well for us, but I'm sure we'll be fine by Sunday. So we'll be driving down, back up the road, hopefully with something to celebrate, and a pit stop for cans would be excellent. And I don't think I'd be sober for the rest of the year. I don't know if you'd ever see me on this channel for the rest of the year. Just too pissed to do anything. Let's hope that. I'm in a celebratory mood. That doesn't happen.
I just hope Barry Robson's rolling it back and stopping the team bus in Cumbernauld for the carry out and chucks his credit card behind the till and lets the boys buy as much booze as they want. Because I'm sure the celebrations will go long into the night on Sunday, and you might turn up pissed at Pottodrie midweek against Livingston, and I'm sure half the players might as well if all things go our way on Sunday. As I said, tomorrow night, Thursday, it really feels like nothing. So when we are back on the episode, we're probably not going to look back on the game kind of too much unless somebody really stands out. from the first team players. So the next time you see us, we will be looking back at the League Cup final. Oh, I really hope we're speaking about all things positive, because it could be one of the greatest episodes we've ever done, Callum. I mean, this episode started off as a shambles, and if you think that was bad, imagine I was extremely hungover doing this show. There might be a chance that one of us spews.
No, that would be worth tuning in for. Or we might just still have cans and still be going for it. You never know. However, I'll end it on, if there's any youngsters out there tuning in and we win, do all you can to soak it in, because these things don't come along very often. And that would be my little bit of advice going off the 2013-14 League Cup.
I thought you were always saying drink responsibly, but
no.
well, yes, please do drink responsibly. Let's end it like are sensible. But no, I think that is good advice. If it's your first cup final this weekend, do enjoy every moment of it, especially if we win. But thank you very much to those of you that have tuned in to this episode live here on the Red Tinted Glasses YouTube channel. As always, if you have been joining in live, do remember to hit that like button before you leave the video tonight. If you have been watching on catch up, comment down below, subscribe if you're new, and follow us wherever you are listening into the podcast. And we'll see you next week. Come on, you red!
It's back, baby! Sports Social Podcast Network.